Many thanks so much. It's harvest, traditionally a time where we give thanks to God for all he's given us. You might see some nice decoration at the front of grain and wheat and little green squashes and orange squashes, the traditional harvest of autumn, because that's where it comes from. There was a harvest and we gave thanks to God for it because he provided it. Now, we're a bit removed from that in our daily lives. Not many of us are farmers. Not many of us go out and see the harvest come in and live by it. So why don't we spend a couple of minutes in our families and little groups, turn to somebody. If you're here by yourself, just turn to someone. Everyone's fairly friendly here. And let's just ask, what are we thankful to God for? It can be anything in the world. What are we thankful to God for? A couple of minutes. Go. Now's the time to receive some comments from the congregation. What did people say thank you to God for? What do you thank you to God for? Hopefully there's just a huge variation. I mean, we could go for a long time with this, I would hope. What did some people say? Would anyone like to volunteer an answer? Go on, Penny. Shelter. Is that because it's really wet at the moment? Yeah. What else we got? Eric, are you volunteering somebody? Go on, buddy. And then we'll go to Eric. Do you want to shout it out? He doesn't want to. Eric, what is it? Do you remember? What did he say? Oh, he kept going in. Okay. Eric, have you got anything that could fill the gap? Thank God. Ah. Yeah. Not to be taken for granted. Thank you, God. Yeah. Go on, Isabella. For Joshua. Ah. Oh. Dream sister. Go on, Noah. Food. Yeah. It's massively important, isn't it? Go on, Anne. Good health, and the children here. Do you know that? If you're a child here and you come to church, lots of people are thankful to God that you're here. Teddy, have you got something? Toys. Toys. And one final one. We had down here that beautiful autumn. Surprises you, doesn't it? Even driving along a dreary motorway yesterday, we were just like, oh, trees just keep popping up, different colours. What a gift. And winter, when it comes. When it comes winter. Brilliant. So much to be thankful for. And I don't know about you, but when was the last time you actually had that conversation with somebody where you just stopped and you said, thank you, let's talk about things we're thankful to God for that he's given us. Because in a busy life, it can be quite easy to forget, can't it? Thank you, God. And it's really healthy, even in our hardest times, actually, to be able to spot the things that God's given us and to say thank you, even when things are difficult. Now, what we've given thanks to God for are lots of wonderful things, and we're very blessed here. I want to read a story about a girl who lives in Malawi. Her name is Nyamiti. Just listen to this story. My name is Nyamiti, and I live in Mumfumbala village, which is in Malawi. I am 9 years old. Some of us here are 9 years old. And I live with my mum. My father left some time back. I have two brothers and two sisters. When I wake up in the morning, I go to my uncle's toilet. That's because she doesn't have one. Then I sweep and I clean the plates. Then I go to the borehole, which is like a bit like a well. It's not quite like a well, to get water, which she gets in a bucket and she takes back home. And then she gets ready to go to school. Now her teachers, she says, my teachers allow me to go to school without a uniform because I'm poor. I love my teachers because they encourage me with my learning, especially my English and my Chichewa. Because I leave home without eating, When our teacher gives us a test, I'm not always able to focus. I feel tired and can't concentrate, and sometimes I fall asleep in class, but my teachers are kind to me. My teacher is an inspiration because she used to be in the same situation that I am today. So when she's teaching me, I'm always inspired to achieve my dream of becoming a policewoman. Since I don't eat when I wake up, I always look forward to getting the porridge that they provide me at school. The porridge they get at school is the only meal I have until the next day. After school, I go to the maize mill to collect a little bit of leftover flour. And my mum also does bits and bobs of work. But because this year's a year of bad weather, she hasn't managed to get any work. Some other villagers sometimes give us some money. And my uncle also sometimes helps with some flour. We lack many things. But all I want is a school uniform, shoes, books, clothes, and some food. Naimitti is one of the most promising students in her class, her teachers tell us. Naimitti's story, though, isn't a unique story in Malawi, which is of 189 countries in the world, it's ranked as the 172nd most impoverished. 63% of children in Malawi are in multidirectional poverty, extreme poverty. That's a lot of people who only have one meal a day and don't have a toilet and things like that. Now, I read stories like that and it makes me very sad, and it makes me wonder, what does Jesus say? What does Jesus have to say about how the world seems so unfair? Because most people, not everybody, in this country have a bit more than that. And they just happen because they just happen to live in this country. That's why we've got the reading from today, from John chapter 6. Because Jesus is walking around and people are following him. And the people who followed him would have been people, 80% of the people, that's 8 out of 10 people in Jesus' time, would have lived, they would have had to work the very day they got food, pretty much. And because they're following Jesus around, they aren't doing any work, so they don't have any food. And so when Jesus sees this large crowd of people, he says, in John chapter 6, he says, "Where are we to buy bread so these people can eat?" Now, Jesus knows there's no shops around because he's in the middle of a hillside. But he said this to get the disciples thinking. One of his disciples said, "What, 200 denarii, 9 months of somebody working wouldn't be enough bread for all these 5,000 people?" And then another one says, "Well, Jesus, there's a kid here. He's got 5 loaves and 2 fish. At which I imagine some of the other disciples, reading between the lines, maybe sniggered a little bit. It's not going to get very far. But Jesus says, "Have the people sit down." And so they all sat down. All 5,000 men, probably women and children as well. That's a huge amount of people. It's like a small football stadium, all sitting down. Jesus gives thanks, and then the disciples walk out distributing bread and fish. And every single one of them got fed. And there was so much left over that there were 12 baskets from the 5 loaves that there were to start. Jesus was remarkable. He had the ability to feed all of those people. But he's not doing it now, is he? And when I read passages like that, I think in my head, why aren't you doing that now, Jesus? Why don't you come back? And why can't I? I always want to put him on one of those wheelie trolleys like we've got around the corner and wheel him around everywhere so he can distribute food and food and food and food, and deal with all the poverty there is in this country, and all the poverty there is in Malawi, and all of the 189 countries where there are impoverished people in the world. Why doesn't he do that? And I think if we're Christians, we need to think about that. Because God says he loves the world. Jesus said he came for the people. But there's lots of people who struggle with food and other things. And I think we get the reason in this same passage. Because Jesus then disappears. He goes off. He goes in a boat across the other side of the lake. But all of those people who were fed, they all follow him because, probably like me, they went, he gives food from nothing. Let's run after him. And they run off and they try and find him. They can't find him. So they go, where is he? And he's gone over the lake. So they all get in their boat, all huge crowd of them, and they all flock over the other side of this big lake to find him. And when he's there, they come to him. They say, Rabbi, when did you come here? And Jesus answers them in a very strange way, but a way that helps us understand why he doesn't just go around feeding everybody all the time. He said, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Don't work for food that perishes, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man, him, will give to you. Many of you know, I've moved house recently. And I don't know if you know this, people who move houses must see this all the time. And I imagine they rate families on like how untidy their houses were when they moved all the furniture out of the way and got to see all behind everything. When the movers moved, I can't remember what it was. It might have been a bookshelf, it might have been a sofa or something. I remember looking down like no one go, oh, that's where that toy is. That's where those elastic bands are. That's where all of those things are. But I spotted one little thing, and it was this little rectangular green thing. And I looked at it closely. I was like, what is that? It's rectangular, like a thing. It's not rectangular. It's kind of like, it looks like it's a curvy thing. Look closely. I poked it, and it was quite hard, but it was also now by this time quite dusty, and it was green. And I looked closer and went, oh, that's a crust of bread. Somebody in our family had eaten a nice little sandwich and left the crust, but rather than picking up the crust and taking it to the green bin, had put it down somewhere, maybe behind the sofa, maybe on the floor, and it had found its way under the sofa, and who knows how long it there, but one thing is for sure, it had gone off, and you'd never want to eat it again. Here's the point, though. That's what happens to all food. All food. Now, if you think of the nicest meal you've ever had, and you get full of it, and you go, oh, that's such a nice meal. Can you remember the last time you had that? Might have been a takeaway, might have been a Sunday lunch, might have been a big whirly Cumberland sausage. That's one of the favorites in our family. And you go, oh, that's such a nice meal. Even after a few hours, you realize that food's gone, and you need some more. And you need some more, and you need some more, and you need some more, and you need some more. Jesus said, you see, he didn't say food was bad. He said we all need it. He provided food for all those 5,000 people, but there was something deeper down that Jesus came to do. He came to provide food that endures to eternal life. Food that lasts forever, that will mean you never go hungry again. We'll hear more about it in a bit, but I just want you to imagine at the moment the idea of being full in your belly. Can you imagine being full? Remember when you've had a really nice meal? And go, oh, yes, that was such a good meal. Can you imagine it? Imagine what you're saying, who you're with, what you're doing. And now imagine that sense of satisfaction, but at the deepest level of your soul. Completely satisfied and content at the deepest level you could ever be. Deeply content and deeply happy. That is the food that Jesus offers. The food that endures to eternal life. And he says he'll give it to anybody who comes to him. And it's a food that makes you content. And it's food that gives you peace. If you have loads, if you have nothing. It's a food that forgives your sin. And it's a food that means you know God forever. It's a really good food. The reason Jesus didn't keep on feeding the 5,000 is because he came to give that food first. Which is a pretty wonderful food to give. I love this story. It's quite fun. It's a simple concept. She has a bike, but she wants to make it better and better. She wants more and more and more for her bike. But the problem is she ends up putting so much and running after so much stuff for her bike, making it better and better and better, until it falls apart. And you feel like when she does it with her roller skates, it's maybe just going to go the same way. I mentioned, didn't I, that Jesus says, do not run after food that perishes, but after food that endures to eternal life. Jesus also said that the food that he gives, when I find it in this bit, the food that he gives is a food where he is the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Remember I asked you to think about that deep level of being content in your soul deep down? If you were content in your soul deep down, if you had everything you needed deep down, if you were satisfied and you were happy deep down, then surely the argument would go with actually the only things you really needed were what you needed. But I wonder for us, for most of us here actually, whether you're tiny or you're old or you're in between somewhere, whether you've got plenty or you're struggling, is that that isn't how we think about what we think we need. I wonder if sometimes we think, actually, to really be truly happy and content, I need that relationship. I wonder if sometimes we think to really have to be deeply, deeply satisfied with life, I need to make sure I've got X amount of money, which is actually a little bit more than it was last time you asked that question. Or we see the newest car, and when we see it driving past, we go, oh, if only I had that car, then that would scratch that itch that I have. Or the newest phone advert. Or the holiday home. Or the new carpet, or the new curtains. Whatever it might be. Whether you get 100% at school. But I wonder if Mrs. Armitage on Wheels has got a little bit to teach us that actually we can run after a thing, after a thing, after a thing. And if those of us who've lived quite a while will be able to say, won't we, to younger people, actually, when you just think you want something to be happy, when you get it, you aren't actually happy, not deep down. It doesn't actually work. I wonder if perhaps we all need, me included, to go back to the words of Jesus. And when he says, I am the bread of life, whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst, to ask the question, do I go to him? Do I go to him to be deeply content? Do I go to him when I'm thinking I'm not that happy with life? Do I go to him when I'm unhappy at school? Do I go to him when I want something new and think it will make me happy? Because I just wonder, if we were to grow in our prayer life, if we were to know God deeper, if the time we spent on our phone flicking around, we spent praying to him and in talking to God and getting to know him deeper and enjoying this bread of life and chewing it over constantly, if we were to put him first in every area of our lives, if we were to make space for him, then I can't help thinking that we would be a happier, more satisfied, more joy-filled church. And can you imagine what difference this would make to the world? Did you know that in the world there is about enough food to feed 10 billion people? And did you know that there are about 8 billion people in the world? Yet some people have too much, many people have too little. Now, I know it's complex, and I know it works out on very different in different economies, and there's all sorts of going on, but I can't help but think that that's why Jesus left the 5,000 people who wanted food, because he knew that actually the solution to the whole of the world's problems, and when God makes all sad things untrue in the future, it will be all restored. He knew that deep down, if people would find him and feed on him at that deep level, if they would believe in him and trust in him and pray with him and talk with him and make him a priority in their lives, if they would follow him, then if all those people are deeply happy and content because they have him, then perhaps they wouldn't be so greedy and they wouldn't want more stuff for themselves that they don't need. And they wouldn't hoard to be secure because they'd be secure in him. And perhaps then people would give more or not pursue as much and just be bothered that everyone had enough that they need. I think that's how the kingdom of God works. Jesus saves us at the deepest level. He gives us everything we need in our souls. So when it comes to food, we just need enough. When it comes to our houses, we just need enough. When it comes to everything, we just need enough. And then we can help others who don't have enough. So my prayer for us would be we would be content in him. We would prioritize him and be looking to share what we have. And then imagine what people in Knutsford would say when they heard that Christians just are bothered about enough and nothing else. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all you give us. Thank you that you promise to satisfy us at the deepest level of our soul. Would we be happy in you, and would we prioritize our relationship with you that we might find happiness in you? Forgive us for being distracted and longing for other things other than you that don't satisfy our souls. And whether we're small here today or really, really old, would you help us to be content in you, that we might just be bothered about what we need, that we might help others? And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.